O Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Today on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill concludes the message, "What's this I smell?" from his study in the Epistle of 2 Corinthians. Now, Pastor Bill.
You remember Mary? She was always, every time we find her in Scripture, she was at the feet of Jesus. Remember when she anointed Jesus for burial? And how that when she did that, she broke the alabaster box. She poured it all over the head of the Jesus, all over his feet. He was covered. She did it for his burial. Remember that? And the whole house, every inch of the house, the word used in the Greek in that John 12 is pleroo, meaning filled to the brim. What? The fragrance of that alabaster perfume. Man, every inch of the house was just covered with that kind of fragrance. Loved one, listen to me. We are the very scent of Christ. Right now in this chapel, we are the spiritual fragrance to God, and we have filled this entire place. Wherever Jesus is loved, whatever home Jesus is prayed in and loved in, and where his name is lifted up, I'm telling you, there is a spiritual fragrance that is there. And God says, oh, there's a home. I smell Jesus all over that home. Wherever Jesus is worshiped, that fragrance is there. One of the great old writers of the hymns, he wrote the song that it says that no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Remember that one? No one ever cared. Never mind. He was at a meeting one time. He was going to be, I guess, singing there or whatever. I read a story about him. And as he was in the main lobby of that convention center waiting to go out into the main auditorium, there was a huge rose garden. He walked out into the rose garden, and, oh, he was just overcome with the fragrance, the smell of the roses. He would come back in. And when he came back into the main lobby, people say, oh, did you enjoy our rose garden? Well, the problem was when he was out there, there was no one out there. And people kept asking him, did you enjoy the rose garden? He finally asked him and said, can I ask you a question? He said, I was out there all by myself. There's no one there. How in the world did you know that I've been out there in the rose garden? And they said, oh, because you carried that fragrance from the rose garden right here into the main lobby. You smell like that rose garden. Loved one, listen to me. You know what? How will others know that you have been with Jesus? You know how they know? It is because you bring his fragrance with you. Right now, you don't feel it, you don't smell it, but they do. They know there's something different about you. They go, what is that? You know, ladies, you don't have to worry about putting that stuff on. You smell like Jesus, amen? Husbands, when you get home, you should tell your wife, you smell like the Lord. And you should say, and so do you. No, God is so good. No wonder Paul says, for we, meaning all believers, we are to God the fragrance of Christ. I love that scripture. Do you know fragrance? Isn't fragrance beautiful? I mean, aren't smells powerful? Yeah, I mean, they are. I mean, how about, do you remember 007? Never mind. The 007, remember the James Bond perfume stuff? Oh, forget it. Let me give you a better one. Fresh cut hay. What are you? Are you guys? This is Texas. Before, you know, out there on 820, they've got all these buildings they've built, those big long buildings. Before they were built just recently, what was there? Hay. The big rolls of hay. Man, as soon as it was cut, if you happened to drive by, did you smell it? Ooh, I love fresh cut hay. The smell of it, it's unbelievable. See, smells are powerful. I mean, you know, I'll give you one. How about the smell of rain? Vanilla. I smelled some of it. I asked Becky, do you have any vanilla? Yeah. I said, can I smell it? She said, Oh. Coffee. Frying bacon. Yeah, yes, you see? It triggered. Did it trigger something? Of course it did. You know, ground coffee. Did I already say that? Well, praise the Lord. No, listen. Not only that, you know that smells can trigger our memories. You know, like if baked bread, it always reminds me when I smell Mrs. Barrett's when they used to bake their bread over in Fort Worth, remember? Oh, gosh. Or, you know, and also, you know, smells can warn. Smoke. Oh, there's something burning. I remember, talking about smells that warn, I remember last year, whenever it was, I parked my car, walked into the office that morning at the door at the end of the building, coming into the admin wing. The moment I opened the door, I was flooded with the smell of gas. Merlinda, Sandra, Gordon, they were all here. And I go, you guys, do you not smell that gas? No, I don't smell anything. I said, you don't smell that gas? This entire church was flooded upstairs, KDKR, everything, with gas because someone left on the gas stove in the cafe. Yeah. Had there been one spark, we'd be getting a brand new campus. Do you understand? Yeah. So see, smells can warn. They do so much. I mean, smells attract. I mean, are anyone wearing jungle gardenia? Yeah, you don't even remember jungle gardenia. They probably don't even make it anymore. You know, smells can hide. You want to hide your, you know, whatever. Or they can also be artificial. Someone said this, people choose a church with their noses. They can smell the joy. They can also smell a lot of other things. Boy, I pray when people come here, they smell your love, your goodness. I pray they smell not legalism, but the incredible grace of God, the incredible goodness of God. I pray that they smell our unity and our love that we have one for another and not any pride or backbiting or any of the rest of that sinful junk. Oh, no. I pray that when they walk in here, they go, whoa, I think it must be the Lord. It's unbelievable. The peace, the way I'm greeted, the way that I'm loved. Paul says in verse 16, to the one we are the smell of death, the aroma of death, that deadly stench, that horrible, oh, what an odor, leading to death. To the other, we are the smell of life, that living, fresh, living, leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? Now listen, the word of God that we share with other people, it is either the aroma of life to those who hear, are the aroma of death to those who hear. See, the word of God or the gospel is never preached in vain. For example, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ Jesus, you feel very uncomfortable because this word has an effect upon you because God's word never returns void. It's active. It is powerful. Do you understand? Yes, the gospel is never preached in vain because it has an effect on every person who hears it. It's either going to be the smell of life. Ooh, I like it. Or, oh, it's the smell of death. I don't want any of this. I like the death stuff. No, listen. The gospel always divides every person on earth into two groups, those that are being saved and those that are perishing. That's why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolish to those who are lost or perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. See, the gospel always forces a decision. You know, you can't remain neutral. You either receive it or reject it, the good news of Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 16. And who, I love this scripture. Paul says, now who is sufficient for these things. Let me read it to you in another way. His question, who is adequate for such a ministry, or who is equal to this task of dispensing the being, the fragrance of Christ, a task that has eternal consequences? Who is sufficient? You know what the answer is? No one. No one is qualified. Do you understand? That is if they depend upon their own resources. Do you understand? That's what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying, listen, you know what? Believe it or not, I'm not the source of that aroma. You're not the source of that aroma, but I know the source of that aroma. It is being in Christ Jesus. Amen. We can't manufacture that. You have to be born again to have it. Amen. That's why Paul writes later in Ephesians 5:2, he says this. He says, walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for us, an offering unto God, a sacrifice unto God. And he says, for a sweet smelling aroma. Amen to that. So who is sufficient for these things? Not us. But I know the answer. It's found, and we'll learn next week or the weeks that are following, in 2 Corinthians 3:5, when he says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of being from ourselves. Here it is. But our sufficiency is from God, who always leads us in one ongoing, continual victory if we're following him. Jesus said in John 15:5, he says, without me, you can't do a thing. See, God is our sufficiency. We don't manufacture our smell, that scent. Oh, no, it comes from heaven when a person is born from above. And that unmistakable scent of Christ now becomes ours. And God says, oh, there's my son. There is my daughter. So Paul says, now, who in the world is qualified for this? They better know how to teach God's word the right way. So look what he says. For in verse 17, for we are not. Now, Paul is defending his ministry. Remember, that's one of the purposes of this letter. He says, not us. We're not. Titus isn't that way. Timothy's not that way. Apollos is not that way. Peter's not that way. We are not as so many, or as the many. Look what they were doing. Peddling the word of God. But as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ, and they don't. Paul said, listen, my words are sincere. They're pure. I don't peddle God's word. That's what Paul is saying. He's defending his ministry. Listen, the many, we have the many then, and we have the many today. Did you know that? That's right. They peddle God's word, which means the marketing of God's word, and they do so for profit. They're called false teachers. That's what the Bible calls them, you know, and so forth. So Paul says, listen, my calling's not a trade. It's not a business. I don't sell the word of God, and neither do we. That word peddler, horrible word in the Greek, it means a con man. It means a person. It was used of a person in that century who would sell wine in the marketplace, but they would so water it down, and they did so to cheat the person, to make a profit, a greater profit. That's what that word peddlers mean. You see, false teachers then, and more so today than ever before in the history of Christianity, because the time is short, false teachers today, they come and they use the gospel as merchandise to fill their pockets. You know, they water down the gospel. That's a sad thing, to water down God's word. To twist God's word, to make it sound like it's better, or it doesn't say what it says, or whatever it is. Loved one, they're Christ traffickers. They're peddlers of God's word, and you need to know who they are. You need to understand that. Listen, false teachers, the Bible says, they are enemies of Christ. They're enemies. Listen, Jesus said, you know what? On the outside, they look like sheep. They wear sheep's clothing. But on the inside, they're ravenous wolves. They're not misguided Christians, loved one. Do you understand that? They're not misguided Christians at all. No, no, they are wolves. And listen, 2 Peter says this. He says in 2 Peter 2:3, he says, by covetousness. Now remember, covetousness is idolatry. He says, they will exploit you. He's talking about false teachers. In other words, they look at you as merchandise. Man, you're financial gain to me. They're not ministers, Peter says. They're merchandisers. Oh, what a horrible thing. And you would do well, loved one, to open your eyes to see what's going on today and know what the truth is. Amen? You would do well, matter of fact, to meditate on 2 Peter chapter 2, which talks about all the false teachers and what they are and who they are and all the rest of it. He says in 2 Peter, he writes and he says, you know what? They have a heart that is trained in covetousness. The word trained there is the same word we use for gymnasium in the Greek. It means that they work out. They work out their hearts, meaning that they get better and better. They're experts in greed. That's what Peter is saying. You know, he says, they're well without waters. They promise liberty, but they put you in bondage. He says in the word, he says, oh, for whom they are reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Meaning that is a special place for those who would pervert the word of God, who would teach the word of God the wrong way. They're peddlers. That should make every Christian angry. Amen. Because they lead people astray. They lead them to hell. They lead them away from God. They're a false gospel. Now listen, you know, I encourage you to do something. We are living in a time today like never before. And I know how busy every believer is. I'm busy too, loved one. But you know what? Sometimes you need to turn your TV off and go and just check out what's going on in the world in Christendom. See, I don't care about the world. I know where the world is going. Do you understand? They're not going to make it, man. But you know, but we are. But whenever you see the church imploding, whenever you see people in the church, the sins that are occurring in the church, whenever you see whole denominations leading people astray, man, there's a problem. You need to be aware. You know what happened last week? If you didn't catch it, you can go to christianpost.com. I read it every morning to see what's happening in Christendom among so-called Christian people or whatnot. And last week, this is what happened. The headline read this: Liberal Lutheran pastor presented, listen carefully, pro-abortion feminist Gloria Steinem with a sculpture. Now, this was at a massive convention. It was called the 2019 Makers Convention. And she presented her a sculpture. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you remember what the purity rings were about? Or we call them, maybe years ago, they were called promise rings. And that was when a young woman, in the church would say, you know what, they knew better, we're not making promises to God, but we want to live a pure life. We live from the promises of God, okay? But I'm going to put this ring on as a reminder that when I'm in a situation that where I would either become sexually active or lose my virginity, whatever it might be, I'm saying, no, I've made a promise. It's a purity ring. I'm going to wait until I'm married, and then you know what I mean. Well, you know what this Lutheran pastor did? They said that, you know what? We want to protest evangelical purity. So they went online and said, you know what? Why don't you send in all of your old purity rings? If you're in agreement with me. Thousands came in. Thousands of them came in. Do you understand? They donated all of those rings to protest what they considered an archaic saying, you know, to keep yourself pure. And do you know what that Lutheran pastor did? They melted all of them down, and they created a sculpture, and they presented it to Gloria Steinem. Cannot believe it. I will only leave it to your imagination, the female anatomy that they sculpted when they gave it to her. We are living in a time where darkness and vileness and sin. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about some that proclaim Jesus as Lord, yet they say, no, no, no. My body belongs to me. I'm not really a purchased possession, and I can do with my body what I want to do. Loved one, that is where we are right this minute. No wonder where Paul writes to Timothy and he says, oh, Timothy, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Here, listen to what he says. Preach the word. Preach it. The word needs to be preached. Amen. He says, not only that, he said, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. And he tells us why. Oh, Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. That is where we are right now. When somebody says to you, well, the falling away is happening, you should say, that's exactly right. The falling away is happening right this minute. And you know what? But it's not going to affect us. Because this pulpit, in Jesus' name, when I'm here or when I am not here, will always teach the truth of God's word. Amen. That's important. An important word. No, listen. Every person, you that are listening live right now, you that are in this chapel, every person is on a journey. We're all on a journey. There's no way to get away from it. We're either on a journey that is leading to life, meaning everlasting life, or we're on a journey that is leading to death, meaning not just I die, they put me in a casket and they put me in the ground. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about eternal death, which is eternal separation from God forever and ever and ever and ever. If you are a believer, you are right now in a procession following Christ to heaven. We are forever triumphant because we're in the one who won the victory for us. Amen? Oh, gosh. Loved one, listen. You know, we're marching toward victory, not defeat. We're the children of the King. Amen? Now, listen. But you know what? Here's the thing. If you're not a believer this morning and you're here, I love you. Jesus loved you. He died for you. You see, you have a choice. Isn't it amazing that God gives us a choice? Here it is, heaven or hell, Jesus or not Jesus. Which one do you want? That's not hard. I'll go heaven. I want heaven, Lord. You know what I mean? Don't you smell that smell in here right now? You know what it is? Oh, forgiveness. Forgiveness. The goodness of God leads man to repentance. You smell that grace that's here? Oh, the Holy Spirit hovering over this chapel right now. Those that are listening live, maybe you're sitting in a car in your bedroom or right there in your living room, I don't know, your kitchen. God loves you. If you're not being led by God, you're not being led in triumph. And the Bible tells us, it says, oh, the choice that you have. See, how a person responds to Jesus Christ, you determine your eternal destiny. Not God, you do. See, the word is right there. It's in your mouth. You can come to Christ. You can be born from above. Every sin can be forgiven. If not, your decision has two things. Number one, if you turn away from the Lord, take a deep breath and smell. Death, death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God in Christ Jesus is eternal life. Now the smell of death. Whenever Lazarus in John chapter 11, there he was. He'd been dead for 3-4 days, remember? And Jesus said, roll away that stone. And Martha and Mary said, oh, wait, Lord, you don't understand. He stinketh by now. Got it? The smell of death. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. There from paradise, his spirit came back up, entered into his body. He opens his eyes in that tomb. The stone has been rolled away. He's wrapped in all the grave clothes. You know the story. And he takes that. Oh, what is that smell? It's death. You died. Loose him. Let him go. And he walks out and he goes, oh, fresh air. The smell of fresh air. The smell of everlasting life. That's what God wants you to have. If you don't know Christ, he wants you to come to him. He wants you to experience the smell of life and the smell of the truth of God's word. See, the Bible says this. He says, if our gospel is hidden, if you're here today and you're saying, I don't want to do anything with the good news. I don't care. I just want to get out of here. He says, well, okay, if it's hidden, it's hidden to those who are perishing. I don't want you to perish. And the reason, the God of this age, meaning the devil, has blinded them lest they believe. Isn't that amazing that he wants to keep you blind if you don't know him? But if you will come to him, if you will ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about where you say, Jesus, be my Lord. And then the breath of God will come into your heart and he'll go, oh, I don't smell death anymore. I smell the unmistakable scent of my son.
On Love Never Fails next time, we'll continue Pastor Bill's series from the New Testament epistle of 2 Corinthians, and we hope you'll join us again. Thanks everyone for the privilege of your time, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org. or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our 3 services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.